for the whole year. And this is the Apostle Paul saying, he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So I've never been a farmer. I may have planted a few little things when I was little. Who here has ever planted anything and grown anything? My mother, bless her heart. Look at all these hands coming up. My mother, she would have these African violets, and she would like to take these little leaves and put them, replant them in something and make more African violets. That was one of her favorite pastimes. And then, of course, you can do that with a little cactus, too. Plant things and make things grow. But this verse here, "he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly," applies to us in many ways. And we can work this in a good way. And that's what I want to encourage everyone here, to work that verse in a good way. We don't want to work it the wrong way. There's a passage in Galatians. Turn the right directions here. "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting." And then verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And so that is saying pretty clearly, we don't want to be sowing to the flesh to the wrong things. I mean, I sometimes use a little example. If a person was to go down to Brahms, they have the ice cream stores here in the area, and if you ate a banana split every day, it would start showing on you if you were eating plenty of food otherwise. If that was the only meal, maybe. We want to sow to the Spirit, and the Bible here says, "He that sows to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting." And Jesus said, he said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And so one thing that's always in season is sowing and planting God's word into our own lives. We can put his word into our life, and it's going to bring life into us. There was a man, he wrote a little booklet called God's Medicine. And his prescription was, he said, and his comparison was, he said, you know, if a person went to a doctor and the doctor gave a prescription and said, "Here, go get this prescription filled and take this medicine 3 times a day, it wouldn't do any good to get that prescription filled and then put it next to your bed and never open the bottle. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. A lot of us have a Bible, but we also have to open the Bible and read it. Yeah, you know, right. One thing I found for me that works, I mean, I can listen to it. Nowadays, technology with all these smartphones, I can actually, like, just on my phone, turn to a chapter and it'll read it to me. And it'll just keep on reading and reading. Until, and I've done that, sometimes I'll wake up in the morning, like 3 in the morning, and I think, what am I going to do? So I turn on my Bible on my phone, and I'm listening to read, and then I sometimes will start in the middle of Psalms. There's 150 Psalms, and then before it's over, I'm almost through the Psalms when I wake up again. And so, but the thing is, it's great to listen to it that way, but it's also great to read it yourself. And when we read the Word of God ourselves, there is power in the Word. I encourage you, if you're able, try to read it yourself. And if you need some help, have someone read it to you or listen to it somehow. And I thank you all for coming to this service this morning. This is a way to get the Word of God into me and into all of us. And there is power in God's Word. And so it says here, it says, "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And then it says the next verse, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So, you know, that is a part of the life of faith as a Christian. There's actually, the Bible says, "The just shall live by faith." And faith, I have a real simple definition for faith. It's just simply believing what God has clearly said. Just acting on it. And, you know, most of us, we have faith for natural things. You know, when you come into this room, you see a chair, a comfortable chair, you sit down because you have faith the chair is going to hold you up. And so you sit down and all is well. And the thing is, we can rely on God's word much more than even a chair. We can, and we actually sang that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. We can draw near to God. There's a Bible verse. I actually, at my house in Irving, I bought this little plaque, and I don't want to overdo putting stuff on the outside of my house, but right between the garage door and the front door, there's a little space, and I have this little plaque, and it says on it, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And so that is something we can do. We can take little steps or big steps every day, and we can draw near to God. And that's the thing that I was listening to someone talk about, a farmer. There's two things when a farmer plants seed. One is he has to have good seed. He can't have bad seed. He either has seed that he's had from a previous harvest, or he goes and buys good seed. And the good thing is, this is good seed, the Word of God. If we plant God's Word into our life, it is good seed. And then the other thing I heard this morning, the person said, a farmer cannot be lazy. A lazy farmer is not going to plant much seed. And that's what that Bible verse I read before. He that sows sparingly. You know, if a farmer is lazy and he just plants a few rows of seed, that's all he's going to get is a few rows of harvest. But if the farmer gets out there with a tractor, back then in Bible times they had oxen, he was plowing. When he got called into the ministry, he had several sets of oxen all hooked together. And he was plowing in a big way for that time. But he had a lot of oxen, and they were just all plowing down the field. He was sowing bountifully, and then he was planning on getting a big harvest. And that's something that we want to do this year. We want to plant good things into our life. And the two big things we can plant, first of all, is to plant God's Word into our life. And if we will do that, we will see His Word come to pass in our life. And then the other thing is, again, we're not here to take an offering, but I think it's worth mentioning that if we will give either to the church or to, sometimes we'll even see poor people, then we will have that come back to us. There's a verse that Jesus mentioned. He said, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You know, and so, you know, when we give, we don't want to tell the world. I may give a few examples here because, I mean, when I give, I'm almost expecting, you know, for something to come back. You know, I sometimes will go shopping and I'll get a good deal. I'm fixing up a place, and so I was in this Habitat for Humanity store, and they have good prices, but they had steel cabinets, and I had marked them down from $40 down to $5. And they were just what I needed. So I have like five of them in the cabin in my garage, you know, just to store stuff. The other day I went into, I was with a friend, and I went into Jason's Deli. And so we got two sodas and got ready to pay. They said, it's okay. You don't need to pay. I was surprised. It was kind of them to do that. But there's lots of ways that God can bless us back. And I'm not saying I'm looking for a handout. I had money to pay for the soda and everything. But if we will give, there's ways that God can bless us back. And that's the wonderful thing when we're not here talking about tithing either, but Bible, Malachi, it talks about tithing. And he says, if you'll bring your tithes into the storehouse, into God's house, he says, I will pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive. I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. And he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. You know, I'm not looking to drive fast, but the reason why I mentioned driving fast is, you know, when I hear somebody who's getting a bunch of speeding tickets and they're having to pay. That is like a devourer. That is somebody stealing their money. And, you know, I don't often ask people when they tell me stories like, oh, I got 5 speeding tickets and I'm having to pay for them or something. I don't often ask them, do you ever give any money in the offering? But, and we're not buying off God, but there's a promise that if we will sow into God's kingdom, He will bless us back. So of our finances to give, and it'll be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down and running over, it says. And the same thing, we can sow God's word into our life. And then, besides sowing God's word into our life, we can sow God's word into other people. We can share His word with other people, and they can have a harvest in their life too. And so I encourage you this year, even if you have a real small Bible verse that you like. This morning, Patty, she came early on time, and I just for a conversation, I said, do you have a favorite Bible verse? And she was telling me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's a great verse. And so you can tell your friends, hey, I have a great Bible verse. I have a favorite one. One verse I sometimes like to quote is Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I sometimes say that to people. I say, if you can't think of any other verse to think about that verse. This morning, just to mention something else Patty was saying, which is worth repeating, is we're talking about, she said, well, before she goes to sleep, if you need some help falling asleep, she's quoting Bible verses. And the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. So we can do that and plant His Word into our life. There's something to be said for speaking God's Word out of your own mouth. And there's power in God's Word. So I was going to mention another passage here that relates to sowing. And that is Jesus. He actually told the parable about the sower and the seed. And I want to read this a little bit. And Jesus in Mark chapter 4, He said, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 60, some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And then verse 9, and He said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so Jesus told this parable, and I'll just say there's 4 different things that happened to the seed that was sown in the ground. And that seed, those 4 things can apply to us with other truths that God has in His Word. And so the disciples, they were asking Him, verse 10, and when they were alone, they that were about Him with the 12 asked Him the parable. The disciples, they didn't understand the parable, so they were wanting some information. And so Jesus, He explained it here, starting in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And here we are talking about the word of God. The sower soweth the word. And these by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. And so one thing I do, I'm not perfect, but when I go listen to someone else preach or a teaching, a lot of times I will take notes. Sometimes I've got a notebook. I've had some dear friends. They've actually given me little journal books. Maybe that was a hint to take a few more notes this year. But I will take notes, and I even have a phone that I can take notes with, and I got like a little stylus here, and I can take notes on the phone. But however it works, we want to work on remembering what we hear. And sometimes there's little tips to do that. The other day, or actually last night, somebody was telling me about a Sunday school class that they went to, and the last guy's name was Brady. And so I said, "Oh, that's just like the Brady Bunch." And so they laughed and they said, "Oh, if that's a mental hook that will help you, go ahead and use that." And so I know there's people who memorize things and they have like little mental pictures of something in a room or adding to an animal or something. But we need to, almost just like a muscle, I mean, I'm not doing any push-ups. I probably should start doing push-ups, you know, to get stronger. But, you know, my view is, you know, we can make an effort to exercise our mind. And one thing is to concentrate. One thing I could do better this year is when someone introduces themselves and says, "Hey, my name is Patty," I can say back to them, "Patty, I'm happy to meet you today." And use their name in the conversation. Because if I don't do that, I can, 5 minutes later, someone can say, "Who was that?" said their name, and I don't remember. So we want to engage, and here, however it works, we don't want the word stolen from us. And so we want to try to latch onto what we hear. And there's different ways that we can start improving that. And then here a little further, it says, Mark's verse 16, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when an affliction or a persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." And so, the little comparison I would give, I have two granddaughters. One just turned 1 year old yesterday, and the other one will be 3 here later this month. But they like toys, they like playing with stuff. But one thing I'm becoming aware of, I have grown children, but they're easily distracted. I mean, you know, we can be working on a puzzle, and I turn around and my granddaughter's in the living room doing something else. And I say, "Come back here, let's finish this puzzle." And so we did finish it. But, you know, when it comes to the Word of God, then when we hear the Word of God, we want to hold on to it. We don't want to get distracted. And each of us can just choose this year, you know, what we have in our life and how busy we get. You know, it's good to have good activities, but we don't want to be so busy that we don't have time for the Word of God. And so we want to hear God's Word, and we want to even, there's a word in the Bible, it's called meditate. You know, people sometimes, they're meditating the wrong way. It's called worry. You know, they're thinking about something over and over again, or they may be afraid of something, and they're thinking about how they're afraid about something. But let's turn that in a good way and take the Word of God. Like I mentioned that verse, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And just think about that and say, "God, I just thank you today that goodness and mercy are following me today, and that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I choose to dwell in God's house today. Thank you again for coming to this service." And so we don't want the word to be taken away from us. And here it says, "They are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word." And so we don't want to have a hard heart towards people the wrong way. We don't have a hard heart towards God. We want to say, "God, this year I want to have a soft heart towards you, and I want to have a soft heart to other people. I want to love you, God, and I want to love other people the best way I know how." And sometimes we have to just do a little checkup on ourselves and say, "Am I being hardened, you know, to something?" You know, it's just like a small example is when go out and drive. Sometimes there's people standing by the street corner and they're asking for a handout. You know, and there may be people who are abusing the system, you know, and they're just making a living when they could be working. But there's people who are genuinely poor and genuinely need help. And so we don't want to completely ignore that. You know, I sometimes, if I have a snack, different times I've had a few extra apples in my car, or like I've gone to a restaurant and I had a leftover meal, and I'll roll the window down and I'll say, "Here, would you like some apples?" They're happy to get that. And so, you know, we can be kind. I don't want to be hardened to helping people just because some people have misabused that. And there's actually a Bible verse that says, "Blessed are you who sow beside all waters." And then there's another verse that says, you know, "He that regards the wind will not sow." And so that those two things are almost saying, if you're just going to give when it's completely perfect, you're not going to hardly ever do it. But if you are willing to sow bountifully to people, then God will bless you. And so I sometimes say, I would rather do a little extra for somebody. I used to work downtown, and one time somebody, a homeless person, came up to me, and they wanted food. And I said, come on with me. I took them over to the Subway shop, bought them a sandwich there. And so there's ways that you can still help people without necessarily giving somebody $20 who doesn't need it, but you can still be a blessing to people. And so just to continue with this, then it says here, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." And so we want to have good fruit in our life. And the two kind of fruit I would say that we can have, first of all, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can have the love, the joy, the peace, the self-control, the gentleness, all those are mentioned in the book of Galatians, in our own life. And then we could also have fruit where other people are coming to God through our life. And we can have that if we just simply live for God. The other week I shared a message, Matthew 11. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And really, living the Christian life should be a simple, easy thing. I say that in a good way. It shouldn't be a complicated thing. And here it's saying there are people who let thorns come up in their life, and it says the thorns are the deceitfulness of riches. You know, just having a bigger house isn't going to necessarily keep you happy. So we have to choose how much of that we go after. And really, the first thing should be going after God. It says, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." And so it says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares. So we don't want to worry about unnecessary things. It says there in Philippians, "Be careful for nothing." And then another place in Peter, it says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And we can give our cares, our worries to God in prayer and trust him to help us in our life. "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things entering and choke the word and become unfruitful." And here's the fourth kind. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And so we can see fruit in our life as we plant God's word into our life. So I encourage you this year, make it just like, God, by your grace and your help, I'm asking for your help to be able to read the word a little better, a little more, a little better, and grow as a Christian. And so God's promise, he says, if we'll draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. We sang that song earlier, "Victory in Jesus." And there truly is victory in Jesus. We can have his love in our lives. We can have feel his love, and we can have his love for other people. We can have his peace that passes all understanding. And we can have peace with other people. And we can share his peace. And so I thank you for listening. We're going to, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you today for everyone here, that you love them with a great love. And Lord, we just pray your blessing upon each person here. We thank you, Lord, that you love them. And Lord, I just thank you that this year will be a good year for each person here, that they will grow in you, that we'll draw closer to you, that we'll grow in your word. And we just thank you for your promise, Lord, as we plant your word into our life, that it will bring forth good fruit in our life. We thank you and praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.